It's time for What's Up with the Leader of the Opposition, Chris Hipkins.
Actually, change of plans. We've got Carmel Cipollone on the phone. Kia ora and good morning, Carmel. How's it going?
Kia ora. Good, thank you.
Whereabouts are you at the moment, mate?
I've just finished at TVNZ and I'm heading somewhere else.
So TVNZ.
At a cafe to talk to you.
Excellent. Well, this morning, Carmel, let's start off with the treaties principal bill. I read an interesting piece that Rupert O'Brien wrote, where he argues that the ACT Party is making a calculated move to remove a significant barrier to its privatisation and deregulation agenda. That's essentially what he argues. He's arguing that that is at the core of the treaty principles bill. What's your understanding of the ACT Party's proposed changes to the treaties principle, and how do you believe these changes would impact Māori rights and interests?
Well, I mean, that assertion is not, it is totally believable that that is possible, that that is the agenda. I think there's lots of people watching from the outside. I see discrimination, see an undermining of Māori, but there could be a deeper reason to this, that privatisation and deregulation would absolutely fit with the ACT Party's political agenda and their ideology. The main thing here, though, is that this is incredibly divisive, and you've got two other members or political parties in the coalition saying that they're not going to support it to go any further, and yet they're willing to waste the money that they are to allow it to be heard for a six-month period even. And what we know is that this is just going to create division amongst communities in New Zealand, and it's not something that most New Zealanders want.
Do you think the general public is aware of the implications of redefining the treaty principles? And how important is public education on this issue?
No, I don't. And I think even in the lead up to the election campaign last year, the ACT Party were doing a very concerted making a very concerted effort and doing a good job of trying to divide communities, trying to turn communities against Māori by referring constantly to things like race-based funding, by referring to Māori as having some sort of privilege, and it did create division then, and it continues to do so now.
I mean, how can we ensure that Māori voices are adequately represented in discussions about changes to the treaty principles, especially considering the implications for their rights?
Well, their voice should have been heard right from the get-go. Iwi came out very strongly, not just Iwi, many non-Māori too, to say that this is not the right thing to do. Why are National and New Zealand First still allowing this to go through when they say that they don't support it, when they themselves can see the flaws in this particular bill? But here we go again. Luxon is allowing the tail to wag the dog, and you've got David Seymour calling the shots.
What steps is the Labour Party taking to actively oppose the ACT Party's proposal and promote a more equitable interpretation of the treaty's principles moving forward?
We have been very vocal on our stance in relation to this particular bill, and we continue to engage with key stakeholders, particularly iwi. We have attended the hui that have been held in response to this anti-Māori agenda that we've seen the government unfold since they were elected. It's not just the Tiriti principles bill, it's also the undermining of Te Reo Māori. I mean, we saw that even recently with money being taken out of Te Reo Māori programs and put into MAC. And we've seen it across the government's political agenda since they got elected, and it's not right, and we continue to stand against that.
Okay, Carmel, also on the news this week, or the last couple of weeks, we've had capital gains tax has reappeared. We've had the recent-ish stories of Prime Minister Christopher Luxon drawing an accommodation allowance, and most recently selling a rental property of his and pocketing $180,000 in capital gains. How does Luxon's capital gains of $180,000 affect your view of his commitment to addressing economic inequality in Aotearoa?
Well, so many of his moves just show a sense of privilege. We've got Premier House, which was good enough for previous Prime Ministers to live in. I think three of them, you know, Jacinda Ardern, Bill English before her, and Chris Hipkins. You've got a man who was claiming the accommodation allowance because Premier House was not good enough for him to live in. Thought he was entitled, but then saw otherwise when the public came out vocally against his decision to take that and then decided to pay it back. And then now we see him collecting a massive capital gain on one of his property sales, but at the same time demonstrating an unwillingness to talk about a more progressive tax policy and the potential of a capital gains tax. There's a high level of self-interest here, and he is conflicted. And so it's important to call him out on that.
Luxon has mentioned he doesn't want to be criticised for his success. How do you reconcile the idea of individual success with the need for a fair tax system that supports all citizens?
I think New Zealanders in general don't hold success or even wealth against individuals. However, the way that he's been talking about his wealth and his success has a level of arrogance about it. I think I saw reported in the media that he was saying yesterday he's wealthy and he's sorted. Well, actually, there's a whole lot of New Zealanders out there that are not, that are feeling uncomfortable at the moment, that are experiencing the struggle of the cost of living. So there's a real arrogance of him framing it in the way that he did. Looking at a capital gains tax or a more progressive tax policy is just to secure our future moving forward. You know, we've got a big cost on the horizon with an ageing population, and we need to make sure that we're going to be able to afford that future. There's other costs like the infrastructure that we're going to need moving forward, and at the moment we don't have the revenue to provide us with assurance that those things are going to be affordable. So we haven't made a decision as a political party on what the progressive tax policy might be for us going into the next election, but certainly a capital gains tax is not off the table, and it shouldn't be off the table for National either.
Just in regards to transparency around this, or transparency in politics in general, do you think Luxon's handling of his accommodation allowance and subsequent capital gains raises questions about transparency in political leadership?
Well, I mean, obviously the limelight has been put on these decisions. I think more than anything, it shows a lack of discernment and good decision-making on behalf of the Prime Minister. He's made mistakes here, and they're not small mistakes. They are big mistakes. And so I think people are generally just questioning his leadership and his ability to make responsible decisions.
All right. And also in the news this week, Carmel, National has rolled out their final 2024 quarterly plan. There's a bunch of stuff in there. Just on their energy policy, Christopher Luxon has committed to reversing the ban on oil and gas exploration. How do you believe this will impact New Zealand's energy security, but also our goals to the climate and the environment?
It just takes us backwards. I mean, we had agreed that we would honour, whilst we were in government, existing permits, but no new permits. It makes no sense. We should be moving towards more renewable energy, not backtracking and moving back in time and putting a focus on fossil fuels. I think our international reputation is at stake here with some of the decisions that this government is making, and we absolutely do not support it.
Onto smoking initiatives. What are your thoughts on the government? I shouldn't laugh. This is bad. But this, what are your thoughts on the government's updated smoke-free action plan, especially in light of the recent repeal of the smoke-free generation law?
Oh, there's so much to be disappointed and concerned about when it comes to any of the government's policies around smoking, around tobacco, around vaping. I mean, today we see Casey Costello is standing by her decision to cut the tax on heated tobacco products, and yet the evidence shows that there's no proof to say that they are safe or that they are effective as a smoking cessation tool. She also is going against all of the evidence that says that, and she's saying that she's got independent advice that tells her otherwise, and refuses to tell us where she got the independent advice from. There's a real lack of transparency here. This is off the back of her receiving a report and not knowing where it came from, but feeding that information through to public servants. You know, I really do question her integrity. and her ability to do the job. And actually, I think we're at the stage now where the Prime Minister should be calling for her resignation.
Yes, yes. Okay, one last question for you, Carmel. Also on the environment, how do you view the decision to fully remove agriculture from the emissions trading scheme? What implications do you see for New Zealand's climate goals on this front?
It's another backward step. And there's absolutely agriculture should be included in here. They are a big part of what make up our carbon emissions here in Aotearoa. No one said that it shouldn't be done carefully, but they certainly shouldn't be against.
All right. Hey, Carmel, thank you so much for taking the time to have a chat to us this morning.
Thank you.
Enjoy the rest of your day, mate. Cheers.
You too. Thanks for being
here. That was What's Up with Leader of the Opposition, Chris Hipkins.